gotta get it. You have to.
I'm buying everything.
Because I'm a hypebeast, you know?
Unlimited, bro. These are actually pretty fire, bro.
And I'm the youngest flexer in the game.
This is the In Hype Podcast.
Don't believe the hype.
Where Kelly King talks entrepreneurship, manufacturing, marketing, and everything to dominate the physical product business. In the hype. Make the future, and let's get into the show.
Transform your idea into a business reality. I am Kelly Keene, and this is End Hype. Look, people believe that competition is such a killer that they have like this overwhelming anxiety to even just do a simple Google search. They won't search their customer problem, or they'll come to me and say, nobody's ever thought of this idea before. I'm like, let's sit down, let's just search, okay? There's something that does that on Amazon. It's not exactly like what you want to do, but people are buying it. And then I run them through why that's so good and how that fits into the tools and the strategies that we use to not just be an also, but be a better than, to gain unique differentiation, but also how it validates an idea, right? So competition, it's not a killer. Competition makes the game. Entrepreneurship's the game. It makes the market. Look, everybody's obsessed with being first to market. They want to be, you know, number one. I want to be the first person to ever have thought this thought. I'm so original. I'm unique. I'm creative. We'll go over this a little later. I don't think that ideas really work like that. That's kind of a core philosophy of mine. That's not how the brain works. That's not how society works. Ideas are derivative of other ideas. But look, it's possible that you're such a new entrant into a new market that there's a massive upside, right? The potential is enormous. But educating your customer is also an enormous amount of effort, right? Going out and convincing people that this thing that they've never seen is what they should be purchasing, or that the service they should be engaging in, or a tool that they should be deploying in their business. It's very, very difficult. But also getting somebody to make that thing, to code that thing, when there's no analog, there's no similar to product, is very difficult as well. So extreme breakthrough products are very difficult to produce. I call them science experiments, but they're also very rare. They're very rare in the commercial product market or even in the B2B market. So instead of spending all that time on your science project, I'd rather focus on growing your actual business. So focus on creating a stellar product, a product worth sharing. That's our benchmark. I'd worried about growth, so having a presence and communicating with the customers in a way that we can, you know, grow and scale. And I'd be worried about the internals of the business, like the culture and the processes. Worry about all those things. You have a lot to learn. It's just another extra step to be worrying about an idea so rare that you have to go out and teach the customer. I think that's a little silly. It's what I love about competition. Competition means customers, right? If I research a problem area and I find businesses, I find courses, I find products that are also solving that problem, I know an opportunity exists. I know businesses exist and they're making money selling that thing. If I found one or two businesses selling, you know, then I'd say, okay, maybe they're having a go at it. I don't know if they're making money or not. But if I go to every shopping center on earth and there's a nail salon, I'm pretty sure that people get their nails done. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way that it is. It means that there's an opportunity there. I can quickly figure out what kind of customer segment that they're going after. I can figure out their messaging on their website, the way they structure their offers. I can see how they use an email newsletter or they don't. I can see how they run ads or they don't. I can look at their social posts. I can look at the type of engagement they get. I get so much information, and Tony Robbins calls this modeling, and it's something that I believe really firmly in, is that we can model the success from successful people and we can shortcut it. But we can turn that into a framework and we can look at a product and say, well, I don't want to go after that customer segment, but here are things that work about that business and I can learn a little bit and I can transpose their technology onto my product, my unique thing. thing and apply it to a different segment of customers or market a different way or have a different business model, I can model what is effective and I can learn really, really quickly. So that's what I love about competition. You know, it's like Picasso saying that great artists steal, great entrepreneurs learn. But even better, right, is when I look at the competition and I realize that their product isn't so great, but it's selling. And I realize that their marketing isn't so great, but it's selling. It's working. That's it. It happens a lot in the B2B market. You know, there's a customer that needs a thing. It's not a sexy, flashy business, but they're just used to purchasing it a certain way and a certain price, and it allows for disruption really quickly. But that exists with business models all over the place, right? You think about, we'll bring up Uber. I love to pick on Uber because, you know, personally, if I have to ride in a regular taxi, I think, man, this would be better if it was an Uber. But they didn't invent the car. They didn't invent the taxi. They didn't invent anything. They didn't even invent ride sharing. There was already companies doing ride sharing. But the way that they rolled out their business model and their marketing strategy, their business structure strategy allowed them to be successful. The product itself, good, right? The business itself, pretty good. But a unique idea? Not really. It's not truly unique in the customer-facing sense. But when I look at these things, whether I find a competitor, we'll go over some quick tools on where you can do fast competitor research. But when they crop up, most often I see that the product isn't that great or the marketing is pretty poor. If the product was amazing and the marketing was amazing, you probably wouldn't have had that idea. You would have already had in your mind the category king. You would already be thinking about this product. You wouldn't have to like intentionally search for it. So more than likely, if you came up with the idea, there's a good chance, let's give it a 50-50 chance that the existing king of that market is doing one of those two things in a mediocre job. But you can design something that's more aesthetically pleasing, right? It's more functional. You can design it even using the negative feedback that you would get off of, say, Amazon reviews, right? You can market it more effectively using a better story. You can shift the audience to something, like if you know everything about this group of people, you shift that solution over to your people, and that gives you a competitive advantage. You can market it better just using better ad techniques, right? Freebies. We're doing social media. You'd be shocked in how many companies just sell things maybe through Amazon or through their site, and they don't really put up a whole lot of effort. So with some redesign, some unique applications, and some good marketing, there's just massive opportunity there. Lastly, you can create a new business model. I think that's a little bit more advanced and really should figure out the customer and the sales portion first. But if you call back to an earlier post on thought experiments, you can discover new ways of approaching the customer that I think are really unique, right? So that's on Instagram. But once you start figuring out the business case, you can team up with somebody that has world-class skills. You can raise up the team, right? The conversation might go like this. It's like, hey, I did the research. You did this initial work for X, and I found an opportunity because all of the competitors, like these people, they don't have Y. We have this unique thing. If you join my team, I know that we can create Z, and we can make a lot of money. We can build a cool business. We can achieve this, you know, social cause or whatever your mission is. You can do it, but it's really hard to team up with people until you really know that competitive space and you know exactly what you're going to do. But it's if you can phrase it and say, everybody does it like this, everybody wants it like this, you can help me do it like this, I understand the space because I've done this work, it's easier to build a team. All right. So here are some of the techniques, the tools from the Red Blue Collective framework to be able to gauge competition. We'll just go over some easy ones that when I mention them, that they'll make a little bit more sense. So at the beginner level, dude, there's just Google search. It's amazing, right? Here's the trick. Here's the trick to a lot of these is that you'll search for your actual idea instead of the problem that it solves for the customer. Usually the best returns are more intent focused, right? So if I search for like, you know, beanie propeller pink top hat, I might not find the thing that I want. But if I typed in silly hats, I'm going to find like silly hats for Halloween. I want to wear a silly hat for Halloween. I'd find tons of things and I'd find out how they sell, where they sell, how much they sell, you know, who's buying them, when they buy them, all of this information. So I have to be a little bit, I have to have a little bit of like emotional intelligence to put myself in the customer's shoe. And most likely they're not going to be as specific as your idea, because your idea, if it's good, should have some unique element to it, should have something that adds its own flavor. It adds your flavor to it. But you got to search like a customer would search. You know, taking that to the next level, I love Google patent search. I love the scholarly articles. I have a product that we're prototyping right now, and it uses an element, and I'm going to manufacture from scratch, but it uses a little mechanical element that was originally patented in 1922. Of course, it's been used for this almost 100 years, and it's not covered by a patent anymore, right? But I could understand exactly what I was trying to do and how it works, the advantages and disadvantages using, I even looked at what patents use that patent as prior art, so I could understand the flaws to that mechanical system. Really cool, digging in into it. And by searching that patent number, I also found products that use that mechanical system, how they're sold, who they're sold to, lots of information on potential manufacturers, actually, and potential customers. Really cool. Scholarly articles, you know, that's people, you know, really smart people writing those papers, releasing them. If you don't have the money for LexisNexis or one of those, you know, collegiate online trade libraries, scholarly articles, great. And you can find some really, really obscure information. If you are trying to do something high tech, you can get a lot of great information from there. But again, if you search for the problem, you'll find lots of people talking about the problem, breaking it down, giving you tons of actual research feedback on what the situation is like, what customers want. Oftentimes those scholarly articles, since they're made for school, they're not actually saying, hey, I built this product. They're just saying, here's this problem and we've gauged it and measured it and it's been part of this research paper, which really comes in handy later if you wanted to market the product, because it's based on scientific research from X school. You can even contact those people. Really interesting thing. But those are kind of high level beginner. I'll throw in the Amazon search one. You'll see this with drop shipping people, definitely with my inventor crew of people. Go on Amazon search, start looking for things, read 3-star reviews. Don't read the fake 5-star reviews. Don't read the fake, hey, I'm pissed off because the box was dented by UPS reviews. Read the 3-star reviews where the person has way too much time on their hands. They wrote like 5 paragraphs with pictures about every pro and con of the product. It's like you could buy 100 products from 100 competitors in one day and break them all down. It's like the amount of competitive intelligence that you can get is astounding. The problem that people have with that as a tool is that they don't know who their competitors are. And I'll give you a little later how you get their names. So intermediate tools that we use is just Google Trends. If you look at that, you can type in a keyword phrase, and you can see how often people are searching about it. If you understand the problem, or you understand even your direct competitor, type in their name. See how often over the last 6 months to 60 years people mention it, right? It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. It also can qualify things that have cyclical nature. This is a crazy one. So entrepreneur is a totally hot word, right? It's like, oh, every entrepreneur this, entrepreneur that. I'm an entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. But put in entrepreneur in Google Trends, you'll see that people have talked about it for a really long time. But in June and July, every year, the graph looks like a little sawtooth. Everybody just gets lazy. They get lazy in the summer. They're all on vacation. They all got summer brain, right? They put the suntan lotion on their face, and it, like, soaks into their brain, and they're like, I don't run a business anymore. I don't know what it is, but look at the search returns, and you'll see a crazy seasonal little saw pattern. Somebody who's smarter than me, there's some advantage there, but when it just drops and then comes back. It comes back in September. Why does it come back in September? I don't know. You could mine the data. There's some cool reason, and there's definitely an opportunity to make money there, but Google Trends is really pretty awesome. If you do know your competitor's name, look to see if they're running ads on Facebook. There's two ways to do that. There's the hard way, which is actually to go to their website, and then you get retargeted by their Facebook pixel. And then there's the easy way, is to use Facebook ad library, type in their name. You can even start typing in pages and just get kind of an organic, you know, fill it out delivery and see. But then you click on it, you'll see the ad that they're running, the copy they're running, where they're running it, how long they've been running it for. If you follow any social media influencers, you know, it wouldn't be uncommon to see that they're running 20, 30, 40 different ads at once. And you can see all the variations and what ad sets and what type that they use. But they'll post one with, it's like a picture, video, like the same one as a picture and a video. This one with this, you know, they're just doing crazy stuff. And then they're going to pick winners. I'm running ads right now. Tried a bunch of things, tried a bunch of audiences, start whittling it down. So you can search Red Blue Collective. You'll see ads that I'm running right now. Here's a super fun one, though. This is fun. So if you have an idea that's in an area, and this is one that we're stealing from the dropshipping community. We're stealing from the sourcing community. So Alibaba's one thing. It's kind of like still a little bit Wild West, but if you go on AliExpress, this is where people are finding their dropshipping items. So if you type in mug, the number 8 return is still the Wolfhead mug. Thank you, Alex Becker. But if you look for a product on AliExpress, and there must be as many products on there as are on Amazon, not only will you see what theoretically you could buy it for, so you should know, that should be like double your cost of goods sold, but you'll also see how many are being sold. So you can sort it by popularity, and you can actually see, oh my God, 9,000 of these things have been sold. People definitely want this. They probably don't want a cheap drop shipping version of that. They want something that is a little fancier, white label. They want your idea. So AliExpress, like, let's just dive in and see, these are the hot things. And since we know that so many of those products are being sold by dropshippers through Facebook ads, that we know that whoever is buying that stuff is probably also can be reached through digital ads. So it's kind of like a little reverse engineering hack. We're going to the well, right? And we're seeing what's at the well. But I look at it and I say, I know that these are price points that somebody could kind of run a business on, maybe, but these are also features that are really attractive. Like, there's a bunch of thermoses that have the temperature on it right now. You're like, oh, that's cool. That seems like something that would be on Kickstarter a year ago. Probably was. So the advanced thing, and we do this in RBC Innovate. I do this with coaching clients, is customer interviews. We interview people about their problems. Once we build up enough background knowledge so we can listen properly, we go out and we actually talk to people in our community, and we ask them questions. And of course, one of the questions is, what have you tried in the past, or what have you used in the past? And they tell us their competitors. Then we can go back to these tools and we can input those answers into there. We also ask them the magic wand question, right? If you had a magic wand, what would you create that would solve that problem that you have? And they give us some answers. We can take those answers and we can plug them back in and find products that actually fulfill that. You'd be surprised how often or not there's something on AliExpress that you could already be buying and selling to those people. And you'd be surprised how often you can just call that factory on Alibaba and ask them to put your logo on it or white label it or change the size of it or change the color of it, and you can have that product too. So not to trick you out of making some crazy thing, developing some product, I love doing that. I'm a product development person, but life doesn't always have to be so hard, okay? And my last tool, and this one's a little bit advanced as well, is using a quiz funnel. And this one's really cool, and this is kind of an emergent thing, but if you've ever been on Facebook where they're like, which character in Harry Potter are you? Well, imagine that you make a fun quiz like that, right? And when they're done with the quiz, they get a little report sent to their email or to their Facebook, whatever. But in that quiz, it's like, hey, have you ever had this problem? This, 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 and this. And you can mine customer research, and don't lie to yourself. People are definitely doing this with fun quizzes. So if you think that you're one of the real housewives, you might actually be targeted by a product company right now, because what they're really doing is they're mining for problems. They're mining for customers. So it's saying, hey, this person filled out this and they said that they experienced this problem on a regular basis, and now we have this intelligence. So don't get it twisted up. People do things for reasons, and it's not just to serve you ads or so you have a fun Facebook post. So moral of the story, long story short, find things that are working, right? Understand that trends are critical, right? Here's an interesting thing about trends, right? In your community, so you belong to this small niche community. As a human being, you belong to many different small niche communities, just like your local town and your local county and your state and the U.S. These niches are all of different sizes. They're not geographic. They're interest-based, right? I'm interested in this, but I'm also interested in this, which is broader. So think like, you know, I'm into Italian supercars, right? I'm into bigger supercars. I'm into fast cars, right? I'm into getting to work on time, right? They all maybe involve a car or a different flavor of car, but they go from very niche and specific. Probably one of those levels is easier to target and the other one's bigger. But the point of niches is this, is that you might feel that in your niche, that an idea, a product, a service is totally saturated. Like everybody's doing this thing. Everybody's selling this. Everybody's thinking like this. But outside of your niche, nobody's ever heard of it before. I'm sure that in the Bitcoin community, people were sick and tired of talking about the same ways of mining stuff, but right outside of that community, nobody had ever heard of Bitcoin. Or if they had, it was on one like silly article about one pizza shop that accepted Bitcoin. That person's probably a billionaire now. But listen, just because it's in your niche doesn't mean that you can't take that interest, that knowledge, that that idea where it's highly competitive, and just move it over into something else that you know. There's a book called The Blue Ocean Strategy, kind of talks about that a little bit more, but I don't need a 200-page book to realize, like, you take an idea that works really well and then move it over into an area where it's new. So like, I know that I don't have to figure out 90% of this. I just have to figure out, hey, there's this other group of people that want it. I know how to communicate with them, and I can try this out very inexpensively. So it's not about the idea. It's about the business as a system, right? The business itself is your product. It's what the customer is really buying, right? They're not just buying the product. The product is strategy for a moment in time. It will change. Hopefully your business will change with growth and reputation and success, but your product is something that you're using to achieve those goals right now. So, but yeah, I mean, I felt like this about different social media platforms. I felt like this about a bunch of ideas that I've had. I felt like this about the podcast. It's like so many people have a podcast, and at a certain point, I'm just like, so what? I can have a podcast too. I need to put out content. I have a ton of written content. I go and talk everywhere. Why don't I have a podcast so all of my presentations can kind of just live on YouTube or live on Spotify or live on iTunes? Who cares if it's saturated? Because you know what? In my area, no one gives presentations like I give presentations, right? In my physical area, there's nobody that's doing what I'm doing, so it's totally unsaturated. And there's not really that many people that talk about physical products anyways. There's just a lot of people that have podcasts, especially entrepreneurial podcasts, just like cropping up. But that's no big deal, right? I mean, I felt like the same thing about Instagram, and we launched a brand on Instagram, and we did into the six figures. People have told me that about Facebook ads, about Google ads. They told me about that, about so many things. It's like, this is totally saturated. And that just means maybe you have to be a little bit better or a little bit smarter about how it works, but it doesn't mean that it can't work. This is the hard part, right? And this is what I had to get over, and I had to understand the secret, right? I don't get to decide. It's not my decision. If a product is good, so we'll do a later one on this, but I'm always saying there's no such thing as good ideas. We have a concept called robust ideas. They're defensible. They stand the test of time. They go through a process of validation. Robust ideas. The reason that they're robust is because the customer decides, right? They decide with their money, with their time, their reputation. I don't get to decide. You don't get to decide. If you were, starting a business would be super easy, right? The customer decides. Competition makes the market. The market makes the game that we're playing, right? So I don't care about being first to market. I try to focus customers on being category kings. That's something that we're 100% stealing from Russell Brunson. So I don't care about being first. I care about defining what that category is. I want to be the benchmark for that thing. I want to be the thing. I want to be Rolls Royce. I don't want to be Bentley as much, right? I want to be Rolls Royce. I don't want to be whatever the other thing. I want to be the category king, right? You can think of a lot of different businesses that you admire, right? And they weren't first to market. Microsoft didn't invent DOS, right? Uber didn't invent the car, right? Ford didn't invent the car, right? What they did, all of these companies, and you can just name any company that you respect, and you realize that they modified a product and came out with an inventive business model after selling that product. So they figured out a way to do it better as a business, as a system, and that's how they crushed the competition. They didn't crush it initially by making a totally, you know, different car, like a car that only drives backwards for some reason. Like, you know, this, they make something that people want, and then they make their business the category king. But it's just hard to swallow that, right? As you are a smart, inventive entrepreneur, you want to think that your ideas are so unique that there's no competition to it. And if there is competition, they're going to squash you like a bug. But listen, it's just not the case. The world is gigantic, right? Markets are so big that whatever your threshold of success is, that you want to make 100K a year, a million a year, 10 million a year, whatever your realistic threshold of success is, you could pick any category and be that level of success in it. The world is large, but what we see over and over is companies that craft and refine the concept, right? They turn it into something special, noteworthy, admirable, shareable, they're the people that dominate. They become the competition, right? They become the category king. They become the standard. That's what we want to be. Competition provides us, it provides us something to model. It provides us something to show how we can jumpstart and get going. It doesn't show us the destination because the destination will always change, but competition is good. That's the secret. Competition makes the game. All right, I'm Callie Keene. That's it, the End Hype Podcast. Thank you for listening. I'm out.
Thank you for listening to the End Hype Podcast. Follow Callie on social at Callie Keene to stay up to date with a bunch of free content and information. Change your life and change the world. End Hype.